Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning, it's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well this Sunday morning. Steve Edge is here.
Good morning. How are we?
Ooh, you sound different this week. Yeah. You sound up and at it.
Ready to go. Let's go. Let's do it. There's been a bit of sun, isn't there? We've had a bit of sun. Yeah, everyone's a bit more, you know, cheered up.
That does help. Is your wife back?
She's back as well. She came back a couple of days ago. It's not just the sun. She is my sunshine. So you know,
yes, of course. Well, she's also
double now sunshine.
Yes, now you've got two sons. Oof. and two sons to help you with your two sons.
And two sons. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's all worked out.
It's all worked out. Fabulous.
How's your week been?
Busy. Bit of a mad one, really. Because I went to New York last week, didn't I?
New York, yeah.
Yes, that's not the song.
Is that the song?
That's not the reference song that people use. Usually it's the, it's up to you. New York, New York.
I think a song from 17 years ago, whatever it was.
I did do a bit of karaoke.
It was it? How long did you go for?
Yeah, it's good. I went on Thursday and I came back like early hours Tuesday morning.
Okay, so
like a long weekend. It's actually just enough for New York. I would have filled it. I would have filled the time. To be honest, I went with a load of lads, like a load of mates. I went with Dion Dublin, randomly.
Yeah.
And Gary Pallister, ex-Man United player as well.
Okay.
Very odd, isn't it, for a City fan? Yeah. It was a bit. And then just loads of our mates, like, you know. And they were doing some Man United thing in an Irish bar over there. We saw, and I'm not exaggerating, Steve, we saw 18 Irish bars in 5 days.
Oh, is there that many? Is there that, of course, there
mate,
is,
that wasn't even, New York, I've not even scratched the surface of it.
Do you think there are more Irish bars in New York than there is in Ireland?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think so. We got to a point, actually, where we were sat in this Irish bar, another one, and we were in a bar called Longacre. That was the sort of central bar that we were using near Times Square. It was really nice. Tommy.
What's the Irish link there, Longacre?
I don't know, really. I don't know.
What were they called, like Flanagan's or O'Reilly's and stuff, aren't they?
This was
Irish sounding.
Much.
But no.
Yeah. Longacre.
Not even O Longacre. Or Longacre.
No. This was Tommy from Cork. You know, the Cork accent's got that, like, that's Tommy from Cork. They were always in the sort of higher register.
So he was an Irish bloke running it. It wasn't just
Irish, yeah.
Okay.
He was really Irish, yeah, which was nice. We went there. It was a lot of fun. But after like 2 days, I've never been on like a lads drinking weekend before. It's not something It's not something that's ever come up. So it was the first one for me. But they were all very happy to sit drinking Guinness and watching whatever sport was on a screen.
Don't matter, like baseball, netball.
Baseball, tennis,
anything.
Football. I think they watched golf at one point. They were having bets on nearest the hole. The golf, I mean. And
Footballers, well, they'll just bet on everything, though, won't they?
Yeah,
they just literally bet on anything.
Yeah, absolutely anything. And then it got to a point after 3 days where they sat. And there was no food. There was no actual like meal time. It was just constant grazing. Like someone just ordered chicken wings every 3 hours, and that's what.
So chicken wings and Guinness. So just gout.
Just gout.
Back to the gout argument. Yeah.
So I and I was on Jack Daniels. Yeah, I wasn't behind the door, Steve.
Jack Daniels and Coke.
Yeah, Coke. Cool. Well, Coke Zero because I didn't want the calories, so I thought I'd take that down.
Yeah. Guinness. I mean, that's calorific, my friend.
God.
If you're drinking pints and pints of that.
I had one sip of Guinness. That's the bit that makes me feel like maybe I'm not Irish.
Right. Have you ever had Guinness with port in it?
No, but that's what Gary Pallister was drinking. He went into one bar and said, can I get a Guinness and blackcurrant? And the guy said they didn't do cocktails.
Well, that's fair enough. I mean, blackcurrant is not the same as putting port in. It's a bit more refined. I think you'd like it with port in it.
I don't know. It's just too so thick.
One's very sweet. One's, I know. But the port sort of dilutes it ever so slightly.
Mm. I watched Dion Dublin drink 5 in a row.
I don't know. Because it's like a meal as well. It's a couple of pints of Guinness. It's like that's a full meal, that.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. I was very much happy with my with my Coca-Cola, to be
Coke
honest.
Coke Zero.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is Jason Manford. This is Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. So what have you been up to while I was... while I was in New York City?
Not much. I've just been playing that game of, you know, outside furniture, sort of samba. Yeah. You know, when you put the covers off, the sun comes out, and then it starts. I feel like I've got power over the weather. When I take the covers off, or wherever I tuck my hood in, I've got, one of them jackets that you can put your hood inside. As soon as I put that in, it rains. I think I'm like a warlock or something. I've got some sort of gift for bringing on the rain.
Hey, I tell you, talk about rain. Did you see some of the videos coming out of Dubai?
What was it, like a year's worth of rain in a day or something?
They've not had weather. Yeah. They've not had rain like it for 75 years.
Did you see the planes landing in it?
Yeah.
Did you see those?
Terrifying.
That's terrifying, isn't it? Where would you know where the runway was and where the runway started and the sea ended?
There was somebody out.
Terrifying.
Just somebody that knows a friend of mine. I was like moaning on Instagram because they'd had to leave their Bentley in the middle of the highway, the freeway or whatever, because the water had come past it and they weren't, obviously they're not designed for, they're not Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, are they? They're not designed
to. No, or that one that James Bond got that goes underwater and the wheels go upside. That was probably a Bentley though, weirdly.
Did you read the sort of, I don't know if it was a conspiracy theory or if it was real, about cloud seeding?
Is this about the, what is this again? I sort of half, what is cloud seeding? So you can force them to rain, or is that what it is? Do you fill them up with rain? What is cloud seeding?
Cloud seeding is only happens obviously in those hot countries. But I think it's like, isn't it where they, do they fire something into the clouds?
Let's just make it up. What do you think happens? A big balloon full of water into the middle of a cloud. Yeah. It floats there and then it explodes and rains, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it to bring on rain or stop rain?
Can
you do both?
Yeah, I think it brings on rain because I'm sure they did it at like the Beijing Olympics, so...
that's done and you can get on with the games. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Get it out of the way. But I think I'm pretty sure I think it involves an aeroplane. Doesn't like an aeroplane go up to the cloud. and then the plane releases a load of something. I don't know.
Inside the cloud.
The cloud, yeah. Yeah, but like salt or something like that. Something that's gonna do it. And then and then the water, something happens in the cloud, and then they become heavy enough to fall as rain, and then you get, caught like 25%
more. That's brilliant. I've got it covered. Now explain how the internal combustion engine works, because you're good at this.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's the combustion engine.
They fire summer in a plane. Thing. Probably salt. I've seen it written down as a thesis. A plane flies into the cloud and shoots something, probably salt or something. That'd be in brackets. Probably salt or something.
Well, it's as good a guess as any.
Do you know what? Weirdly, I saw a conspiracy theory this week on the old X, the Twitter there, some people think that the pandemic, or the plandemic as they call it, they fixed the weather using cloud seeding that year. So it was we had a really nice summer 2020, didn't we?
Was that Matt Letizia?
Oh, how come? No, he probably liked it.
I think that was the theory. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, he's like become a bit of a... He's into his... conspiracy theories and that.
I mean, the very idea that this government could do that, that's what I find amazing.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I agree with that. But I also I did all the things in the pandemic, you know what I mean? Did all the things, wore the mask and stayed inside and did all the things. But I also think it's okay to question this government.
Oh, that's fine,
Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's totally okay to go, what, this lot? You know what I mean? Or any government, in fact. Yeah. Like, governments are pretty known for keeping secrets and lying to its people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. All over the
but
world.
But they can't even change their phone without losing all the WhatsApp messages. The idea that they could change the weather for 4 months. I don't buy it.
And if anything, the hot weather is going to make you want to go outside, isn't it? So it doesn't really make, doesn't yeah, even ring but, true.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Not make sense to me. I did a little gig. I did two gigs on Tuesday, actually. I got back from New York in the morning. Had a little nap. And then... I did a gig because I was rehearsing on Wednesday in Newcastle. So a mate of mine's got his gig in a place called Yarm. Have you heard of Yarm?
I have heard of Yarm. Why have you heard of Yarm?
Don't know. It's just a town. Town near Stockton.
Yeah, I have heard of it though. Yeah.
I don't know. It's nice though. It's a pretty town. Anyway, they've got this lovely, I think it must be a private school. This private school's got a theatre, and every so often they put a comedy night on for everybody. Not just for the people who go to the school. In fact, there's not many people from the school who come to the gig, to be fair. But it's about 800-seater theatre in this lovely, well, in the middle of this tiny town. Yeah, gorgeous. So I did that. That was lovely. And then I did. And then a mate of mine said to me, oh, while you're coming over, will you come and do this charity gig for me in Norton, which is very sweet as well. I was thinking, well, charity gig, you know, maybe somebody's dying, somebody's, you know, some funding for some special
something or other. Something
medicine.
Happened. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a local school needs a new playground. A couple of slides, okay. Slides and that.
Yeah.
Oh, well worth doing. But you know what I mean? I felt like I was missold slightly. I mean, I thought it was saving lives.
It didn't feel like an emergency, but you know.
No, anyway, it was a lot of fun. It was in a little, it was just nice. It was in a little place called the Mullin Cross, I think it was like a little tiny, like a cricket club almost, just in a place called Norton. But lovely, proper nice people. And they managed to raise the money to build them slides. So I feel like, what they should name
all
one of them after me.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Jason Manford. Now, last week we were chatting about the show Passenger on ITV because somebody had heard a character say Boston, even though the show is set in Lancashire. We worked out that, well, obviously through Steve as well, that phrase Boston is not. It's not a northern phrase, is it? It's more of a...
It's very Midland. I think it's very Birmingham,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Brummagem.
Yeah. Would you have used that? You wouldn't have used Boston in the Black Country, would you?
No, it's a bit more Birmingham, I think, than Black Country. I don't
So we sort of talked about it being a bit out of place. And we asked you as well, what are your sort of like little local phrases, local words that are so specific to you?
This will be interesting.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because obviously we've got our own, haven't we? Like, I always think mithering feels like such a... Manchester word. Stop mithering.
I think mithering was around when I was growing up, so I think it might be more
north.
Out.
Maybe, yeah. Ian says, I come from a town called Ilkeston between Derby and Nottingham. Our local phrase is A up mid duck.
Yeah, mid duck. They love that in Derby, don't they? Mid duck.
Mid duck, yeah, they do say mid duck a lot. Yeah, I hear that. Is that more? It's more Derby than Nottingham, though, isn't it? Mid duck.
I feel like it's more Derby.
Yeah, Derbyshire as well, because I feel like my friends in Chesterfield say me duck. Hey, up, me
well,
duck.
Chesterfield's a weird one, isn't it? Because it's, you know, it's like 4 miles from sort of like Matlock,
where is it?
Which is very Derbyshire. But then it's got a Sheffield postcode, I think, hasn't it? It's sort of nearly it's going up there.
Jay just, he imagines just JR and Dallas using like Scouse phrases like, hey, that's boss, Dad, Bobby lad. You use the word boss. Hey, that's boss.
Boss is very Liverpool,
that's
isn't it?
Very specifically Liverpool, yeah. Boss that.
Yeah, boss.
Boss that, mate. Paul Bodman, a phrase from my hometown of Stoke-on-Trent that would be weird hearing anyone else say. What are you chuntering on about?
Chuntering, yeah. Chuntering.
Yeah, that's
just talking nonsense, isn't it? Just it's like mumbling and muttering and chuntering going on, isn't it?
Yeah, it means, what are you talking about? My dad would say it, but it would be weird hearing my father-in-law from, like, the Black Country say it, for example. I think that would be... Mm, yeah. That's not that far.
I've never met this man.
Yeah. you probably know him. Probably know him. And Marianne says, we live in Codsall near Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
People from this area refer to the statue in the town as the man on the horse or the man on the os.
Os, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Never the statue of Prince Albert.
No, it's the man on the os, yeah. Well, that's a famous, it's a Black Country, like, you know, like the watcher, you go, see you later, look after yourself. The Black Country one is stay out the os road, keep out the os road, which is the same, you know, just means don't get run over by a horse. It must obviously come from an old, stay out the os road, you know, stay off the path that the horse is walking on, maybe at the side of the, you know.
I like it.
So os, yeah, os is, in the Black Country alphabet, Z is for stripy os. Zebra, right, stripy os, obviously.
I like it. I like it. And Lisa Taylor says, as a Bristolian, it would be so strange if I heard the word girt on the TV. Girt means to express something. So we'd say, that's girt lush, or that tractor is girt massive.
Yeah.
It's safe to say, don't think we're... Yeah, I remember, I think I've heard girt lush. It was somebody standing
I've heard girt, yeah. My favourite thing they do in Bristol Somerset, especially, is they change the word I from my for I. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So they're going, oh, I'm going to have eye dinner. You know, they don't say I'm going to have my dinner. I like that. Nearly had eye finger off there. Like, I like, that's my favourite thing.
Yeah, that is cute. I like that.
Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
I went to the
to
Knicks,
the New York.
Man.
Oh, yeah, did you? So what's what's the Knicks? Is that baseball?
That's basketball.
Oh,
the New York Knicks.
The New York Knicks. They're a basketball team.
They're a basketball team, yeah.
How was that?
It was actually all right. I've got to say, there's not a lot of sport going on.
No, that's I saw basketball at the Olympics, when London Olympics 2012. And there was even in that, there was a lot of play for 5 minutes, cheerleaders come off for 10 minutes, talking for a bit. Some fireworks, you know. There's a lot of gameplay, is there? And I imagine at a home game, what sort of stuff was happening?
Yeah, so it was like, I think, and forgive me if I'm wrong. So there's four quarters, and I think each quarter is maybe 12 minutes or something like that. But they pause it every time it goes out, like, you know. So actually, each quarter ends up about 25 minutes, really, because every time this play stops, they pause it. But then in between all those moments, like at any point, a coach can just go, right, stop. And then they have a timeout bit and have a little chat
about it. And that can last like 3-4 minutes or something.
Yeah, that seems weird, to be able to.
The momentum, that's part of the drama of sport, isn't it? That, you know what I mean? Somebody doing a long throw-in, taking a quick throw-in and lobbing it in the box in football.
No, that's
we can't do that. We just had a timeout, mate.
Then there's like in between, they might come out and fire T-shirts at the big cannon, fires T-shirts at the crowd. A camera goes round and does like kiss cam or karaoke cam or drip cam.
What's drip cam?
Drip cam is if you're like dripping in all the clothes from the shop, basically. So you're like doing all the Knicks stuff.
All the gear.
The gear, no idea, and there is one interesting thing in basketball that I think they should take to football, soccer, which is whoever gets fouled in the box or whatever, in the area, that's the person who has to take the penalty.
Oh, I like that. No, that is good, isn't it?
And I thought that actually, they should put that all around football. So anyone who gets a free kick or a penalty, that person
they
has
have to
take it. Yeah.
Yeah. And whoever conceded it has to be in the goal. That's the going goal. Yeah. That'll make them think twice about sticking a leg out, though, wouldn't it?
It really would.
Can save it.
Really would, yeah.
That's a good idea. I like that, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be good. And then there was a moment where we met people around us, because obviously we had no idea what was going on. So there was like a couple of American lads behind us. I was like, right, what? How many points is it for a throw? Like, I didn't know. I don't know what the phrase... I'm like, oh, that's good hooping. They're like, yeah, that's not a phrase.
Yeah.
stuff
that's
like
a
that,
so. Three-pointer. That's a three-pointer.
That was a phrase. Yeah, exactly. I kept saying that. So that was good fun. But my favourite bit was, as I said, I was sat... there was about 12 of us, and Dion was maybe five or six seats down. And anyway, these lads were asking us why we were over. And I said, oh, we've actually just come over with these two. They're doing a Man United thing tomorrow. They used to play for United. Oh, my God, I support Chelsea. And the other one's like, oh, my God, I support the Arsenal. And
no link.
They're like, yeah. No link at all, yeah. I said, oh, well, they play for United. They went, well, do you think they'll have a picture with us? I was like, yeah, of course. Dion loves it. But do me a favour. These are like 25, these lads. I said, when we get up and go past at halftime, recognise Dion. They were already on Wikipedia, to be fair. I said, but can you recognise him from Holmes Under the Hammer, a daytime property show that he presents here in the UK?
Oh, my God, are you on Holmes Under the Hammer?
So literally, as he goes past, they went, and they did so well. Because all Americans are a bit actory, aren't they, anyway? They've got that. He goes...
Yeah.
They do
the public speaking thing at school, the debating and such. Yeah.
So I gave him, like, some lines to use. And then I just heard him go, oh, my God, Dion Dublin. Dion's like, oh, hi, lads. He's like, can we get a selfie? I'm like, yeah, of course, no problem. He went, we love Holmes Under the Hammer, man. We're huge fans. And the other guy goes, when you flip that house in Burnley... No way did I think you were going to get 80 grand.
I mean, that's quality.
It's one of my favorite.
Is Martin Roberts with you?
One of my favourite moments I've ever had, I think. So he still took the photo, even though
he was... Yeah, you should have filmed that. You should have filmed that.
I should have, really. Now, another exciting moment happens, Steve, at Madison Square Gardens the other day. So we got there, we were sort of with these like hospitality people, so everyone was on their best behaviour, but we're all in our like normal clothes. I was looking around, everyone's in the club gear. Everyone's in the potentially on the drip cam.
Fully. So, on the drip cam, yeah.
So I said to Big Dave, I said, let's get to the club shop here. Get there. So we get to the club shop and we're like, we'll buy like a t-shirt and a hat and a foam finger. I forgot how expensive it is with you. There was one, like a classic jersey that had Ewing on it, because obviously I thought, well, I remember him, Patrick Ewing, that's one
JR.
Of a few. But J.R. Ewing, yeah.
He got shot, didn't he, in the middle of the game? I remember it was big at the
time, right.
In the 80s.
Yeah, and he came back to last year's
playoffs.
No
one knew, did it? He was Christian. Kristen, or whoever, I think she was.
That was
Crystal.
It.
It was her, yeah.
$350 for a t-shirt. I was like, nah, you're all right. Anyway. In the end, we found a hoodie. So we got matching hoodies, baseball cap with the Knicks on it, and then the foam fingers. So invariably, people were taking the mickey out of us. And I was saying to the rest of our group, you're the ones who look stupid because you're in your normal clothes. We look like locals now.
And I bet you were pointing with your foam finger when you said it, right on their little chest. You're the one who looks stupid.
Although I did notice that the foam finger is right-handed, which annoyed me.
But he couldn't wear it on the...
Well, I could wear it on my left hand, but it was backwards, yeah.
But you'd have a nail on the inside of your hand.
Yeah, it was winding me up. It felt like... I mean, I'm not saying it's a disability, but for a brief second, I did feel what it felt like to be a minority. I know it's not the same. I'm just saying. I got a little glimpse. Yeah. I just got a little glimpse into that world.
Yeah, a little window into that world there. Just when you looked at that phone. Oh, it's just outrageous, mate. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, the injustice of it, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's like roots or something, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. I'm with you, people. That's what I'm trying to say, with everybody. But we did actually get onto the big screen in the middle of the Madison Square Gardens.
Why did they come to you? Do you think it's because you were on drip cam?
We were on karaoke cam at that point. So we were. And what song was it? What song do you reckon it was?
Was it New York?
Where we began. Da, 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 da.
Oh, that's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, perfect for me. So I was singing along anyway, and I was dressed in all the gear, and then the camera came to us. I had big plans if that camera came to us. I was going to propose to Dave.
Yeah.
I was going to just
snog
him for a laugh.
You look very excited. Yeah. Mate, for somebody who's used to appearing on camera, you got very excited being on camera.
That's exactly what everybody said. Yeah, I mean, you're
really
on telly.
It surprised me how excited you are to be on a camera.
I know, but I guess I've never been on, like, I don't know, it just was exciting.
Well, this is almost Broadway, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm on telly in New York. I can only imagine what muggles feel like. when they were on the big screen. Yeah. That's how excited I was. No, it was pretty special, actually. But I did ask online about other people's experience of being on a suddenly being on a big screen. Because I mean, you're on telly as well, Steve, but it is different, isn't it, when you get a little moment. You know, maybe you catch yourself.
Yeah, but when I saw myself on Google Maps that one time, that did make my day. You know, it's unexpected.
I
was putting
that.
The bins out when I lived in Manchester. Yeah, you do. It was about 5 years ago. Yeah, I was putting the bins out. I lived on a cul-de-sac, do you remember? I was putting the bins out.
The 11th June.
It was a cul-de-sac. We had like 10 houses on 11th June. And the Google van was reversing up the street with the camera on the top. And I was like, oh, this is brilliant. So I took a photograph of it. And then about 6 months later, they put it online. I just looked and it was there. And there's a picture of me taking a photograph of the Google van. And there's a picture of the Google van of me taking a picture of the Google. It's brilliant. I put it all on Facebook at one point when it all came out. That was...
Right.
I mean, I don't know why that made me so excited, but yeah, it's unexpected.
It is exciting.
Being on telly.
But I want you to find that picture this week. I want you to find that and post it online.
Okay, try and find it.
I need to see that.
I will say this. Last week, or is it? Yeah, I think it was last week, the week before, we were leaving the house, and I've got a camper van, haven't I? I was leaving the house in the camper van, taking my son swimming, and it was in front of us.
Whoa.
And I was like, how? I was like, that is the Google van. So I think when they update that, we're going to be on this street. I mean, they can blur us out, but it's a camper van. You can spot the camper van. So we're on it. We're on it again. I've done it twice in a lifetime. Appeared on Google Earth, Google Maps.
It doesn't seem to be any rules when... I noticed this at the football, actually. This happened a few weeks ago. I was at the City United Women's Derby. And then I suddenly got a load of texts from people saying, oh, just seen you on BBC One. They zoomed in on you to say you were at the game. And I thought, that's out of order, that, isn't it, in a way?
Without knowing, yeah, but I do think that whenever they cut to somebody
picking
famous
your nose,
in the audience,
scratching your backside,
yeah, but they never know, and sometimes the commentators don't know. It depends on how young the commentators are. They don't, if they don't reference you, that's worse.
No, yeah, that is.
If they just cut to that you and then went, lovely guy enjoying his sandwich there with a beard, you know, just, you know what I mean? You'd be like, hang on.
Yeah. Well, that was
I did it. I think when. They did it with Robert Plant when he was... They didn't know who Robert Plant was, Led Zeppelin. He was obviously at the Wolves West Brom game. And they were like, oh, I said, you can't cut... Somebody's cut to him. The vision mixer's gone, Robert Plant, cut to him. And they've just gone, yep, there he is having a sandwich, whatever he was doing. But yeah.
Well, it was funny at that Madison Square Gardens, there, because they've got a celebrity row. And who was there? There was like Michael J. Fox was there and Rosamund Pike was there, and a couple of ex-like players must have been there. And there was a point where, because afterwards, loads of British people who were in Madison Square Gardens were like, "Was that you, Jace?" Like they were tweeting me. That's how I got a copy of that video.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And then they were like, "You should be on Celebrity Row." I was like, "No, I don't think so. Obviously, I'm not even nearly in America." But then they cut to a load of people on Celebrity Row. I was like, nah, you're just making these people up. They were like rappers you've never heard of. Like I was like, maybe you couldn't.
But maybe they're like Knicks fans or something. I don't know. But yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm going to try and blag it next time. But we chatted...
I think you should.
I'm going to try and do it. I chatted this morning about whether you got spotted on a big cam at any point. Mike said, I got interviewed on GMTV in Vienna. Unfortunately, the school headmaster was watching it.
Oh, and is he a teacher or was he a pupil?
Well, I'll read it to you because it actually starts off, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Edge." Supposed to be called Mike Edge.
What?
So he said, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Edge, you'll be aware that Mr. Wally has spoken to Michael concerning his absence from school for the last 2 days. It would appear that his touch of flu," and that's in inverted commas, "was sufficient enough to prevent him attending school, but not from going abroad for a football match. I shall be grateful if you will contact me Monday so we can make an appointment to discuss this further."
Oh, that's ruined that weekend, hasn't it? You're literally all weekend ruined. Going, oh, no.
I remember taking my brother out of school once to go to Munich to watch City Bayern. He was about 14.
Yeah.
We had asked for permission, and then they do that thing where they go, we can't say yes, but you know. And then what we did was we did like a whistle stop tour of all the sort of like historical sites and went to we did like half a morning. Like, right, let's quick get to the museum.
Made it
picture,
educational.
Picture. Yeah. and then just spent the rest of the day in a bar. Kenny says, me and my friend's mum got interviewed on the news a long time ago because our school was closed due to disruption caused by Robbie Williams performing at the local park. They'd complained about the concert. My friend's mum then even went that evening to the gig.
That's weird. That's a fine way of doing it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a way of doing it. And Tim Whitehurst, this is what we were just talking about. Sky Sports zoomed in on me at full time when Stoke got relegated in 2018. Then I was the main picture on Match of the Day that night. Repeats on Premier League TV.
Did he look so miserable?
Oh, he sent us a picture of it here as well. Crystal Palace 2-1 against Stoke. He's like head in hands, yeah. All the gear. He's got the hat on. He's like me at the Knicks.
Poor fella.
T-shirt, hat. Got repeated on the Premier League for years. On Sky Sports now, they keep showing it again. The phone blew up when it happened on the live game. I was not happy.
Oh. No, you did. If you ever noticed people in your own crowd trying to get on telly?
Yeah.
Because there's a fella I remember a few years ago at Wolves who was a big bald fella and we scored and his celebration was unnatural. It was like arms shaking at the side and head back, like screaming at the sky. Whereas everybody else jumps up in the air when a goal goes.
Yeah, normal.
And that was the one they kept using on Sky, of like that shot of someone celebrating a goal. And you're like, that's not a normal. He knew he was doing that. Bust a blood vessel. He was just trying to get on there.
Mary Bone says, I persuaded my husband to go to watch the recording of Deal or No Deal. We were seated behind the contestants, so on screen for most of the show. Telling him it was a fluke, we went again and they put us next to the contestant's wife, so seen even more. We never went back again.
No, you should go on the show, though, because the amazing luck you're having there. You'd definitely open the right boxes, wouldn't you?
Paul Boardman, who is a former professional footballer with Plymouth Argyle, and now a stand-up by all accounts, he said, I visited LA mid-90s. First day, headed for the beach. Girlfriend went rollerblading. I fell asleep on my towel. Woke up and they're filming Baywatch 50 yards away. Went over to have a look and snuck on the set and pretended I was an extra. Full Umbro shorts and everything. Yeah, they're not.
Well done. Good work.
Not going to believe you, though, are they? Some pasty fella from Plymouth.
Yeah, he didn't say, and where are you from? Are you from around here?
Yep. Yeah, he actually sent pictures as well. He actually did make it onto
the him in the show?
Yeah, him in the show with his full Umbro shorts.
Oh, amazing. That's well done.
That is pretty good, that. Stacey Belcher says, I appeared in a place of the sun in my natural habitat, drinking a beer outside a bar. That would happen, yeah. I guess that could happen.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be in the back of one of those shows. I love that show. Do you love that show?
Oh, it's a great show. It's a great show.
If you need something on in the background, you know, just while you're cooking or just while you're eating your dinner, that's the show for me.
What do you think is the same? Place in the sun. It's the same mistake that people make, though, when Place in the Sun.
Are these the ones who've gone to buy stuff?
Yeah, when they've gone to buy stuff. I feel like they don't quite realise like what they're getting for their money when they do this. They're like, we've got 70 grand and they're expecting like an incredible villa in the middle of Spain.
Yeah, I feel like they don't, Did you ever watch, I don't know if they still make it, there was a show called Help, I Bought a Village. Did you ever watch any of those?
No, that sounds good though.
It was even better. So like somewhere like Italy and Portugal or whatever, there was like an old farming village with a church and 12 houses and a town hall that, you know, when they built the motorway just disappeared, you know, 40 years ago and no one lives there, it's all fallen down. And people have gone and bought the entire village. That's fair. People have really overestimated stuff there. It's called Help, I Bought a Village.
That could be a sitcom. I'd watch that.
Yeah, should watch it, it's good.
Kath says, I was frequently in the background of Grange Hill. It was filmed in the school at the bottom of my road and I always seemed to be getting on the bus just as they were filming. Graham says, killing time waiting for a delayed train to London. Walked into the neighbouring auction house in Christchurch where Antiques Road Trip turned out to be filming their auction scene. It was wild and crazy times.
Oh, look at that.
Claire says, we accidentally ended up on an episode of Top Gear. Went to Blackpool to see them switch on the lights. Then months later, we were watching the episode on TV and they were walking across a car park. Never even knew they were being filmed. I guess that's the weirdest thing, isn't it?
I feel like they have to ask your opinion. Ask your
permission.
What's the word I'm after? Permission, that's the word, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't just film you. They have to put a sign up saying we're filming here. And you have to,
Yeah, that's outrageous. That's what we usually have to do, don't we? Yeah. And then we've got Dawn, who was caught on the local news at the front of a Bon Jovi gig, having rung in sick for work.
Oh, Dawn. Come on.
Living on a prayer.
How's your tonsils, Dawn? Not great. Maybe it's all that singing. It's my life.
Hit me with your best fact. Woo! Fire away. All right. It's time for our it's our favourite part of the show, really, isn't it, Steve?
I think so. We get to have a chat. We get to learn something. You know, it's a nice bit, isn't it?
I think so. So if you want to join in on the best facts, all you got to do is quite simply send us your best facts to jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Thing last week about the fact thing we had last week? What was that thing on Twitter? Somebody was kicking off.
Yes. Did you see this? Well, it was obviously somebody who'd seen the same video as I had on there.
Yeah, because you just came out with it. You just went, hey, I've got a fact. And then no one, unsolicited, gave this fact. And then she's on Twitter going, I emailed that in a couple of weeks ago.
I know.
It's just a coincidence.
Well, I don't get the emails, do I, direct? So, Adem?
No.
Did you know about this?
I don't remember seeing this email. And I have looked in the inbox and I can't see the email.
Well, what I will say, Adem, is that she sent a screen grab of the email that she sent.
I know, I saw this because I tried to see if there's any spelling mistakes in the email and there wasn't, but I haven't seen it.
Well, it doesn't sound like our listeners.
Well, yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it is due. What is clear?
Where did you see it?
I saw it on a little video that pops up on Facebook.
Okay.
With a girl saying, I'm going to blow your mind.
Maybe she saw it in the same place.
Well,
okay. Maybe she saw it there.
To be fair, she says the exact same things as I said, so I'm presuming that
was she the girl who was on the video?
No, she was like a young American girl on TikTok.
Okay.
So I'm, that would be weird. But that's between you and Adem, I think. I think Adem's better check the junk. You better check the junk and that.
I'll check the junk. Can I just say another thing? People who watch QI, whenever there's a new series of QI on, don't think that they can then send us facts off QI. I have clocked onto it.
Is that what they're doing?
That's what
he's aware
doing,
of
Steve.
It.
I'm aware of it now.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I see. Why do you suddenly get like loads of the same one?
Yeah, and you will be blacklisted. I've had to start watching QI now on my Friday nights.
Blacklisted. Well, where else is people supposed to get facts from? They can't make them up.
I want the facts that people give down the pub.
Yeah, the elders give a fact to the younger tribesmen, and it's passed on. Not just I've watched QI and here's 12 facts. Yeah, I agree. It's not right,
fair enough. You can't just have a mug because you watch QI.
You can't have a generic mug for nothing.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, what about the one I threw in, though, about when it popped up on Facebook? Does that count?
I've not sent you a mug, mate, so it's fine.
No, I just mean this girl that's kicking up about.
Yeah, that's been passed down, though. You've not learned that off a TV show.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, but because it was on Facebook, that's where she's probably learnt it as well. And then,
she had to because it was literally word for word. Yeah.
Let's cancel the feature then, boys. Yeah. Let's move on. It's dead.
Okay. I'm not going to fill another hour of stuff with stuff from our heads. So let's keep the feature.
Okay.
I would say.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, that's that decided. Anyway, shall I tell you some facts, Steve?
Yeah, go on, facts.
All right, Claire Saxty says, in Sweden, there's a hotel made entirely out of ice. It melts in the spring, so a whole new hotel has to be built every year.
Really? That's a nightmare, isn't it? How many stories? You don't want to know more stuff. Because if it's just like a block and it's just an ice bar and, you know, there's a roof, but, it can't be structured. It can't be more than one floor. You can't.
Yeah, but it's a hotel.
It can't be an ice cellar.
Stay there.
Yeah, but it must be one floor. You can't get an ice, elevator.
Ice lift. The ice escalators. I wouldn't trust them, would you?
Is there a tea and coffee making facilities in the room?
What do you think?
And is there a hairdryer? Again, what do you think? Can I get an iron centre from reception to Brisbane trousers? No.
The hot water's not working.
Is it not? Yeah, the cold's not great. Of course it's not. The pipes are froze.
I might stay there in Sweden.
Yeah, let's go.
Danny Plum says there's a sport called squirrel fishing in which participants try to catch squirrels and lift them into the air by using a nut on a fishing pole.
Mm, yeah, there is. There is.
Mm. Sounds...
I knew this.
Did you? You played it?
I have heard this, yeah. I have heard this before. I don't know where or why, but I definitely have heard it before. So you've got to lift the squirrel up on a fishing... So he's got like he's trying to grab an acorn or something. You've got to lift him up in the air.
Yeah, exactly. By his mouth, I guess.
Yeah. Well, he'd have his hands either side of the... You know.
I think the RSPCA might need to investigate that. Doesn't sound...
Yeah, what are you getting scored on? How far you lift them? How far you fling them? Yeah. How many, you know... How badly they land? It doesn't seem right.
I'm not sure. Chrissy says, Elizabeth Tower, the clock tower in London that holds Big Ben, is leaning over so much it can now be seen with the naked eye. In 4,000 years, it will be at the same angle as the tower in Pisa is now.
4,000 years?
Yeah.
Well, they might have fixed it by then, might they?
Yeah, and also time will be just like a concept by then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We won't be waiting for the dongs, will we?
But also because of the sort of, you know, the weather and the, you know, this like this rain thing, you know, the worst 18 months. It's been the worst rainfall in the last 18 months, hasn't it, since records began. So with all that subsidence, it might go the other way. Do you know what I mean?
Might even itself out. London will be underwater by then anyway, I think.
Didn't really matter, does it? You know, you'd be able to see, what time is it? It's 5 past summer. I don't know. I can't see the rest of the clock.
Yeah. Also, I always feel like any scientist or expert who says in 4,000 years, you go, yeah, but you can't ever be proven wrong, though, can you?
No, no one's going to call you on that and go there and go, give it another 3,500 years and my dad will be proved right.
JD says, having listened to your show for a while, I thought it was time to give you this little gem of a fact.
Oh, okay. He's been listening. He's been holding this gem for all this time.
Yeah. You've seen if the... having worked as a government contractor installing stuff for various departments, I stumbled across...
Stuff,
yeah. He's not being specific, but...
Okay. No, he's not.
He says, I stumbled across this piece of info. All the agents who worked for the SIS, MI6, in the 50s and 60s, etc., before the invention of the mobile, had a tap code. They would tap their code on the mouthpiece of a traditional handset, therefore clearing their identification without stating their agent name.
Oh, that's very good, isn't it?
I like that.
So they just sort of give it the old... Ah, Agent Manford. Pleasure. Sorry, I've blown it.
I like that. That's good. Pretty good, that
very
one.
Very good. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Jamie Mason says, Nipper Pat Daly had his first professional fight at the age of 9. He retired at the age of 17 after his 119th fight.
He's called Nipper Pat Daly, would you say?
Nipper Pat Daly, yeah.
And he... did he have any, we don't know, knockouts or anything like that?
Doesn't say. It also doesn't say who he was fighting. I presume it wasn't men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good point, isn't it?
Because every punch fighting? Should be fully... under the belt.
I know. But also, if he was, he's obviously quite successful. He went for that, you know, imagine getting knocked out by an 11-year-old.
Yeah, that'd be very you know what harsh, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That'd be hard to take, wouldn't it?
That's
professional
a good one as
boxer.
Well. Very good. Very good. Some solid ones this morning. We've got Nicky Duck. That's a good name, isn't it? Nicky
from Derbyshire. Duck.
Probably, yeah.
Hey up, Nicky Duck.
Hey up. Nicky Duck.
Hey up, Nicky Duck Duck. That's what they call her.
So confusing. Poor Nicky Duck. Nicky Duck says, sperm whales in the Caribbean have a different accent than any other whales in the ocean.
Get off.
Stop it now. I'm not having that. Just really laid back.
What, they've got like, but they've got a different accent to all the other whales, all the other sperm whales in the rest of the world? Who've all got the same accent?
Well, yeah, she doesn't really say that. It's like Russian sperm whales have got,
yeah,
you know, Genaria sperm whales have got theirs.
Oh, like, what they talk like. Well, they have. There's a lot of whales in Genera, isn't there? Which is unusual because it's it's landlocked, isn't it?
Well, it's hard to talk about it anymore without doing the accent, which obviously...
We can't.
Not on radio, anyway.
We can do it in Genera, the Genarian.
Oh, yeah, the Genarian one, what they would.
The Genarian ones, yeah.
Charlotte.
You go first.
After you, I insist. Ironically, the next fact is about digging a hole. Charlotte Harris says, if you start in Argentina, you could theoretically dig a hole to China.
Hang on. Why have you got to start in Argentina? I don't understand.
She just says... Are they on opposite sides of the world?
Yeah, you can't dig through the centre of the lava-filled core of the earth.
That's why she says theoretically.
But theoretically, you could dig anywhere and just turn left off when you get to the lava or something, or turn right when you get to the lava.
No. All right, what about this then? Have we spoken about this before, if you dug a hole right through the centre of the world?
I think we feel like we might have done.
So if you dig a... Let's say... There's no lava and all that sort of stuff, and that's going to stop you. And okay, you could
let's
just
ignore
get,
all that.
Forget that bit, right? Let's say you could actually dig a hole big enough for a human to go from this side of the earth to the other side of the earth, right? And you come out the other side.
Okay. Yeah, right.
So my question to you is, halfway down, you're going to stop falling down, are you going to carry on falling down, or do you start going up?
I don't know. I see what you're saying, yeah, because the gravity, it's at the centre of the earth, isn't it? Mm. So, I don't know, yeah. Would there be a point when... Well, you don't go up. You're pulling you towards the centre, isn't it? So once you get to the centre, you're not going anywhere. You're not going up, you're not going down, you're just stuck in the centre.
Well, you think you'll just suddenly stop at the centre?
Well, that's the centre. Effing's pulling you towards that point. So if you try and go back up that hole, you can't. If you try and go down where you were going, you can't.
Yeah, but you're still
pulling towards the centre.
Yeah, but what about velocity? You've taken velocity out of that.
Oh, all right. Well, it'd be like one of those executive stress toys then.
Yeah, exactly right.
You would just bounce backwards and forwards. Yeah, those little ball bearings on strings. You'd just do that for a bit.
Yeah, the velocity of you falling to the centre would be enough to take you to the surface on the other side.
Oh, that'd be annoying, wouldn't it? Because it'd take ages. It would take ages. And then when you come out, you go, help! And then you'd be gone again for another, you'd be gone again for another 6 months. And then you'd pop out the other side and go, weirdest thing, 6 months ago, a bloke dug an hole here, help! And then you go, that's weird. And then it just keep happening forever. That's what's mad about it.
Yeah. Although, here's a weird fact for you. It wouldn't take 6 months. It'd take 38 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Still. Okay, yeah.
It's still a long time, but 38 minutes.
Still a long time. I think it'd take a bit of time for somebody to catch up. Somebody'd see you fall down the aisle and go, oh, that was weird. I wonder where that aisle goes. They'd stand there for 20 minutes and then go, I'll leave it. They walk off. Somebody else would be passing, maybe 2 hours later. That'd be your third time up. Help! And they go,
grab the hand!
Somebody get the police. Somebody just said help. Somebody just said help. And then they'd wait for a bit. It'd take a time before they went, every 38 minutes, I swear to God, a bloke comes out of that hole. Shouts help, grab me hand. he looks terrified. He looks absolutely terrified. And then they'll go, hello, London Calling. They go, we're in China, and this bloke just keeps coming out of the ground and shouting help and go, that's happening over here as well. And then somehow, I don't know, this would be on, it'd be streaming on TikTok or something. People would be having selfies with you. People wouldn't be helping you, they'd be having selfies with you.
Where real music matters. So we need to pick a winner for our Hit Me With Your Best Facts this week. I'm going to rattle through what we've had and we'll pick one.
Okay.
We had Claire who told us about the Ice Hotel in Sweden. We had Danny who told us about squirrel fishing. The clock tower in London that holds Big Ben is already at an angle, according to Chrissy. Right. JD told us that's about the old tapping.
Oh,
back
that's
in the
good,
day.
Isn't it? I forgot that.
MI6 for agent names. Nipper Pat Daly was a boxer from the age of 9. And in the Caribbean, sperm whales have got different accents than the whales in the
ocean.
Weird.
Can't go near it.
And And if you dug a hole to China, and if you started digging a hole in Argentina, you could theoretically get all the way to China. What do you think, China. Steve?
I'm impressed with that last one, and I want to know more, because I want to know why he's chosen those two countries. I feel like they're not, maybe they are on the opposite side of it. We didn't feel like they are, but maybe they are. But why has he not just said, if you go dig in London, you come out in Sydney or something? I don't know. You know what I mean? Mm. So it could be that. But I think the one that I'm going to take away with me is the tapping one. I think that's brilliant. It's a good bit of knowledge, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I just like the way it was delivered. Over my time, I worked in, let's just say, government offices doing all sorts of things. It was well delivered. It was a little story in itself. Yours sincerely, I Fleming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a bit of that.
And as we were saying, it wasn't just because you like watched an episode of QI, that was it. That was actual learned fact.
I hope not.
Let's hope not.
I say Ian Fleming. Obviously, his real name was... wasn't it?
That's exactly right. So a generic Absolute Radio mug will be winging its way to... And also, guess what his name is, Steve? JD.
Just says JD. Just JD. Can't give his full name.
Okay.
James Dond. The name's Dond. James Dond. Shaken or said, I'll just have a tango, mate.
So winging its way to you. And if you want to join in next week, all you got to do is email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Absolute Radio. Where real music matters.
You're listening to the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well this morning. Now, lots of people tell me about comedians and say, you must see this comic. Most recently, my ex-wife, in fact, Catherine, said to me, you've got to see Janine Hirony. She's fantastic. And as you can imagine, that's a rare conversation to be had between people who used to be married. So I thought, well, I better investigate. So after watching lots and lots of clips online and seeing how well she's been doing, I thought, why not get her on the show? And she's joining us this morning. Good morning, Janine. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you very much. I'm all right. I was watching, not only watching your clips, but also watching the amount of gigs you're not only doing, but then just suddenly adding to the tour and heading all over the place. It's amazing.
Well, I've just had a baby, so I'm escaping my responsibilities as a parent.
I love that. You've got to, to be fair. It's your right to do that as a comic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Although for some of the tour, I took my husband with me as my opener because he's a comic too. And we took the baby on the road. And I don't recommend that.
Not perfect.
We went to one venue where we brought, you know, a little pop-up bed for the baby in the dressing room. And the lights were on a sensor. So we couldn't turn the lights off. So it was just me and my husband sitting in the dressing room in the interval as still as we possibly could, hoping that the lights would go off so the baby would go to sleep. I really don't take a baby on tour.
Yeah, that's not the new rock and roll.
No, definitely not. No.
So when I spoke to Catherine about you, she'd seen you in Edinburgh.
Oh, right.
And been recommended that your was one of the shows that a lot of people were talking about at the Edinburgh Festival.
And then went to see you again
at the Lowry. You from your accent, obviously, from your heritage. You're not from the UK originally.
I'm from New York originally.
I thought I had a feeling it might be New York. So you're from New York. You've come here and absolutely tore it apart.
Well, yeah. It's funny. People always ask why would I leave New York because I never did stand up in New York.
Yeah, the home of stand up comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But to be honest, I prefer doing stand up in the UK because I think the audiences are, I think they're just slightly smarter than American audiences. Maybe sometimes. They're definitely more discerning.
It has been said. We are more discerning.
I think it's because there's this rich tradition of, and there's this big pride here of British comedy. So I think people are quite funny in the UK. So they want you to be funnier than them. So, you know, yeah. they come to a show with this sort of attitude of like, you better be funnier than I am.
And yes, because so my friends like are really challenge. Funny. So you yeah, better be yeah, good. Yeah, yeah, they're yeah. free. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. The difference yeah, between you and me is money. Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you mean, because I was just in New York last week and we went, I just took some friends to a comedy club.
Which one?
We went to the Comedy Cellar.
Oh, yeah.
And went there. And we went there and it was very good. And Michael Che turned up and, you know, it was a lot of fun. But interestingly, I found myself watching the audience because I know what it's like playing, you know, Jongleurs Leicester or
right.
the Comedy Store on a Tuesday, you know, there's 100 yeah, people yeah. in. And you definitely notice that the crowd are already there before the comics even got on to the stage in New York, this is.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
already excited. They're like, this is going to be amazing. They want it to go well.
And yeah, yeah. There's a lot of positivity in America that can get yeah. you very far, definitely. yeah.
I mean, there was one point where the compere, he didn't have to do a joke for the first 2 minutes. He was just getting people to cheer places.
Yeah, I've heard someone describe it as doing comedy in the UK is like working out with a weight vest on. It's a lot harder over here. And then when you go over to the States, it's like you've taken the weight vest off and suddenly you're like, oh, I'm a god. I'm so good at this.
Yeah. Yeah, that is it. That is a good analogy. So tell us where you're going on tour. Where can people see you?
Well, I'm about to tour the States for the first time.
I see that. Soho Playhouse. That's a lovely theatre.
Yeah. I'm super excited. Yeah, I'm touring in cities in America I've never even visited before. So
it's,
quite scary. And then I'm coming back to the UK July 6th to mm-hmm. film my show as a special at the Theatre Royal Stratford East. I'm not sure if I'm saying that in the right order, but
yeah, you are.
All the words. Okay, yeah, yeah. That's it. Theatre Royal Stratford East. Yeah, filming two shows on the 6th of July.
Brilliant. And is that something we're going to be able to see on a streamer or on YouTube or?
It'll be on something.
Be on something. Just getting it
filmed. I'm thinking of getting the DVD game back.
Let's go old school.
Yeah, mailing DVDs out to people.
But people can see, obviously you can see you on YouTube and your Instagram. What's your Instagram account? Just so people got that.
It's at Janine Haroni. It's so hard. I wish, I'm so envious of people who have names that are easy to spell even when I do things like this. It's JanineHaroni. So best of luck finding that.
I mean, you say that, I'm like, I'm Jason Manford. You think that could not be as like more simple, Manford, and yet Mansford, Mansfield, Mohammed, yeah. I've had all sorts of things. So.
Right, yeah.
And people can watch you. There's a stand-up special on Prime Video UK as well, isn't there?
That's right, yeah,
and
yeah.
So people can catch that on there.
Yeah, it's a very short title. It's called Stand Up with Janine Haroni, brackets, Please Remain Seated. I do regret the title, I have to say. It doesn't fit in any interview that I've ever done. It never fits in the title section.
And what
so
can
this
people
one's short.
What can people expect if they've never seen you before, know nothing about, what's your style of comedy? What sort of stuff are you going to be talking about in your show?
I do narrative storytelling stand-up. So so it's lots of bits of stand-up that would work in a club, but I weave them all together into one full narrative. A bit right. like maybe in the style of Mike Birbiglia or...
Brilliant.
Yeah, or...
He's a great comic.
He's great. And it's all just stuff about... I talk a lot about family. This new show, I think the reason that your ex-wife might have liked it is because I spend a good chunk of the show complaining about the injustice of the fact that when a woman and a man make a baby, it's way harder for the woman. So I think maybe...
Yeah,
I think maybe that rung true with her. Yeah,
definitely. That's probably why she's recommended you.
yeah,
but no, she honestly, I've never heard a rave about anybody before. So,
that's nice to hear.
Myself included. So she's a huge fan of yours. So I'm really pleased that we've been able to get you on. If you get a chance to see Janine, if you see her locally, maybe you're on holiday in the States while she's doing a tour. Otherwise, grab that chance to see her in that random Stratford East Theatre Royal. Some of those words. You can see that on, that's July the 6th. And is there still tickets available for that?
Yeah, it's just gone on sale, yeah. So, yeah.
Brilliant. So that's on sale now. Janine Haroni, and that's at London Theatre Royal, Stratford East. Grab that while you can. Janine, thanks so much for spending the time. I know you're busy, busy mum, not no sleep and all that. So I really appreciate you coming on this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Music matters. What else have you got on today, Steve? Any plans this week?
Well, weather permitting, I'm going on with building the mega shed, as I'm calling it.
Oh, can't wait to see that.
You know, the shed I had, you know, it's not a mega shed, it's just bigger than the other shed, but it's not.
Is that just the job you do by yourself?
In the garden. It is, with a little bit of help from Hal. He's like a foreman. He just sort of points, that's got to be that. Yeah. That's got to be bigger. And I say, well, that's not the regulations. You can't be bigger than that. Yeah.
So it's already a mega shed.
Yes, yeah, you can't. That's just the name. And he said, I want it painted gold, he said at one point. I was like, I'm not. It's like MTV Cribs, like a gold shed at the bottom of the garden.
I like his style, though. He's got confidence. I like that. What am I doing? I'm off to go to Newcastle shortly because I'm rehearsing for Wizard of Oz, which obviously I've already done.
Oh, yeah.
In the Palladium last year for 10 weeks. But I go into it on Wednesday in Manchester. I hope you're coming to see it at some point. We're there for 2 weeks at Manchester Palace and I go back in as the Lion. And I've got to say, rehearsing for it has been the strangest experience because I've obviously done this show before with all different people. It's like a weird dream where all the people are the people, but they're all different. They've all got different faces.
And yeah. Well, it's famous, like the play, the musical it is, itself, yeah. Isn't it?
Like, and you were there, and you were there.
And you were there.
So that's, I kick off on Wednesday, and we're at the Manchester Palace Theatre for 2 weeks of the tour, and it's a great show, and I can't let it come to Manchester and not be involved, so that's where I am. So come and see us as the Lion in The Wizard of Oz in Manchester. Have a lovely Sunday, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you here on Absolute Radio.